I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Hearings are set, in fact, underway for a new plan from Northwestern Energy on how it plans to meet the state's energy needs in the next 20 years. It's called the Integrated Resource Plan. That is a very good question. How are we going to meet our energy needs in the next 20 years? Anticipating those energy needs are going to grow, I think, is not the hard part. I think the hard part is understanding where that energy is going to come from and how affordable it's going to be. We talk a lot about it because, as I say, the math does not add up under these mandates. But this is something that's happening now. We want to get on top of that. Utility, Montana Dakota Utilities as well, has also been approved for a rate increase. What's the impact of that? How does that come about? Guess what? Montana Public Service Commission Chairman James Brown on the program today to talk energy on Voices of Montana. Well, hello, and I hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for joining us here, making us a part of your Montana mornings. We're midweek here, okay? Summertime, too, and it's kind of fading, isn't it? I know we're in the heat of it here, and you got the harvest going on, but bam, you're going to turn around, and the summer's going to go, see you later. And you go, wait a minute, no, I'm not done. I'm not done with my summer relationship here. Well, I thanks for being here. I hope your plans for summer are still working out, and we still got to let's not call an end to it yet. Okay, all right. A big topics today regarding energy. I know it's a continual focus here, but I just feel like the math is not adding up when it comes to these mandates, especially for these electric vehicles. We cover that in many different aspects here. This, though, is something that we heard from on Open Phones a little while ago, some folks commenting about these this rate increase for Montana Dakota Utilities and, of course, Northwestern Energy on this 20-year plan. Chairman of the Montana Public Service Commission, James Brown, is with us to talk about the hearings going on and how, I guess, you know, well, just a ton of stuff. First, though, James, good morning, sir. I hope you're doing well.
Well, good morning. Always good to be on with you, and I know the question in everybody's mind, so I'll answer it. Yes, I do feel good.
Ah! Ow! I know it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Get up. Thank you. Bacon, Georgia, James Brown.
I said, Cody, let's not use, every time we mention James' name, We shouldn't be doing this, but you know what you got on this end. But thank you, I appreciate that. You're a good guy, and your name James Brown. So you know we can't help it,
right?
Yeah. And you're also chair of the Public Service Commission. What's that like?
Well, it's been a great experience. I was elected, as you recall, in November of 2020, and then was elected by my peers, my colleagues, to serve as president of the commission on my first day on the job, and so I've served as the president of the commission for the last 2.5 years. My goal in running for office and as president was to sort of get the agency back on its footing and to take the personality conflicts away and get the agency back to doing what its mission is, which is to properly balance the interests of ratepayers and regulated utilities, and I think we've accomplished that in 2.5 years on the job.
Yeah, so I
feel pretty good about it.
Good, I think you have too, because that seems to be such a while ago. But again, for people who are unfamiliar with it, the Public Service Commission had come under scrutiny for certain practices, and a report, an audit had indicated those practices to be very questionable, and I know coming in and dealing with that, it seems like that was so long ago. So good work on that. I appreciate that. This commission needs to work together because, you know, we look at where we're at with energy. You are our public service commission. So we need this commission, or this commission does serve a purpose for us. What is that purpose?
Yeah, so it's pretty easily stated. The commission is designed, I mean, we have various areas of regulatory jurisdiction that range from everything from railroad safety, which we could talk a little bit about that if you want, to gas pipeline safety, to regulation of motor carriers. But the thing that most folks know us for is, of course, we regulate power companies in Montana. And our job, as I stated, is to do the balance between the ratepayers of these regulated utilities while ensuring that the regulated utilities are meeting their requirements to provide adequate and safe service. This does give me the opportunity to clarify something that I think most people don't understand about the PSC is that our job is not, as set forth by the legislature, necessarily to protect ratepayer or to ensure the lowest outcome for the ratepayer. That's actually the job of what's known as the Montana Consumer Council. Very interesting office in Montana. It's actually a constitutionally required office, and the MCC is known as the entity or the government entity that is tasked with representing the ratepayer. And so the MCC comes before the commission to advocate for the ratepayer, and then we're like judges between the utilities, if you will, and then the ratepayers. And so we are tasked with making sound decisions.
What goes into that task?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Particularly in the area of energy regulation. So essentially what we're required to do is to take in evidence, if you will, from the utilities as to how they're operating their entities, which requires them to make filings with us as the commission as to, you know, kind of what their planning is, what their expenditures are, what they're recovering, and then the ratepayers essentially intervene in those types of proceedings, and then they make arguments as to whether or not what the utility companies are asking for or doing is reasonable. And so we basically make a judgment as to those two competing interests.
You know, and it's I think it's interesting to point out you know getting some balance here. You're looking at adequate service and safe service, and then of course the utilities themselves they add affordability. That's one of their main focuses too, and I know you guys consider that as well. Evidence coming from the Montana Consumer Council. I think it's hard to balance this because I myself have said, look, I'm an energy fan. I think we're our direction toward energy here is not satisfactory for our future. But it just seems like there's, it's a corporate entity in many people's minds, and especially some of these environmental groups that look at these potential rate increases, or in particular, this Northwestern Energy IRP, this resource plan for the next 20 years, and they just automatically come out in opposition with higher prices, more pollution. It's hard, I think, when we have that kind of public battle going on for the hearts and minds when energy is not necessarily an emotional sort of thing. It shouldn't be. It's pretty cut and dried in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think that's really well stated. That's exactly what our job is as PSC commissioners. Is it's a numbers crunching exercise more than anything else. We get a lot of allegations leveled at us as commissioners because we're elected officials that run under a partisan label, obviously, and that's the way the state of Montana has chosen to fill these important seats. But the reality is that I can tell you that when we sit down as a 5-member commission and make decisions about rate cases such as the MDU case or the pending Northwestern Energy case, that's not a political exercise. It's literally an accounting exercise. It's a pencil. It's a math exercise where you're looking at the numbers of the utility and what they've filed, and then you're determining whether or not what they're asking for is the standard is called just and reasonable. Just and reasonable. It's not the lowest cost. It's just and reasonable. And what we're looking at in those numbers is the balance between ensuring that the regulated utility is going to be able to meet its obligations to provide service on demand to customers, not only today, but 20 years in the future, which is what the IRP process is designed to do, while at the same time making sure that they're not making any expenditures that are imprudent and unreasonably costing their customers money, if you will. And so, as you stated, it is exactly a balancing act, and the balancing act is a mathematical exercise.
Just and reasonable. What was, and again, Montana Public Service President James Brown is with us here today on Voices of Montana. Welcome to join us, too. Text lines at 781-627-5483 and the phone line 866-627-5483. What is, and using just and reasonable and jumping right into the Montana-Dakota utility resources, that utility's request for a rate increase, what was just and reasonable about that?
Okay, so thank you for asking that. I can talk about this case now that we've made a final decision on it. So on the 8th, I believe, we voted as a commission on a 3-2 vote to adopt the settlement agreement that was filed in the MDU rate case. And so let's back up a little on that. So how the rate-making process works is that we as the commission don't control, if you will, when the utilities come in and ask for rate increases. The utilities are basically masters of their own requests, okay? And so it's pretty interesting because in 2022, both Northwestern Energy and MDU filed rate rate cases with the commission, and in both of those filings, they asked for rate increases. Now, what's unusual about that is that it's very rare for both of our two major utilities in Montana to come in and ask for rate increases at the same time, but that's what's happened. Of course, you can surmise from what's happening with cost of living and interest rates that, you know, perhaps that was a motivation for these companies to come in. So to back up, talking about the balance, what happened in the MDU rate case was that MDU sat down and did negotiated settlement with the Montana Consumer Council as to the rate increase, and then came up with an agreement between the two parties as to what the Consumer Council thought was fair and MDU thought was fair, and then they filed the settlement agreement with us, and then we voted to approve that. Now, the good news for the ratepayers of MDU is that the settlement agreement was actually more favorable to the ratepayers than it was to MDU. We ended up approving a $6.1 million increase in revenue for MDU, but that was down from the $10.4 million that MDU was seeking. But what I really want to walk through with you so that your listeners understand who are within MDU's service territory is exactly what makes up the $6.1 million increase, where it's going to go. I know there's some consternation that's just going to go into profits for the company, but it's not. That's not the way it works in practice.
Hey, so, before you do that, I'm at a break, so let's come back and pick that up here. I think that's a good point to come back and look at that, because I think, and I appreciate this. This is what we're interested in knowing from your side of the desk, so to speak, how just and reasonable this is. So PSC President James Brown is with us on Voices of Montana. Back with more in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Just a quick note about tomorrow. We'll continue on the For the Farmers Montana Harvest Tour up to Moore and then Lewistown later on that evening, delivering lunches. It's been a really, really great event. We are at Melch's Office Bar at 9 a.m. in the morning by choice to do our program. And then we'll be out amongst the producers, and that's the best part of it for me. And then, of course, the social gathering at the Eagles in Lewistown. That'll be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Back here with Montana Public Service Commissioner or President of the PSC, it's James Brown. And, James, again, I appreciate you being here. let's go back into this. I know it was you teed it up. It's really this just and reasonable about this MDU rate increase.
Right, right. And so where we were left off was, as I had explained, that we approved a $6.1 million revenue requirement for MDU. So I want people to understand what that $6.1 million is made up of, because yeah. I think your listeners are going to be shocked that a third of that $6.1 million increase is due to property taxes. $2 million of the $6.1 million.
Wow.
The accounting for that is MDU's increased property taxes. Now, we all know from looking at our own property tax statements what's going on in the area of property taxes in Montana, right? They're shooting up. So, as I explained during my remarks in support of approving the settlement, what the average person in Montana is not going to understand is that the legislature has taken the power away from the Public Service Commission to determine whether or not a property tax request, a reimbursement request from a utility, is just and reasonable. The Montana legislature has enacted by statute that the PSC will approve that pass-through of property taxes straight through to the customers of utilities. Okay, so that's a legislative decision, not anything we do. So if you think about it, one-third of the $6 million increase is due to property taxes. Okay, so really, what we voted on was a $4 million increase. Then the other remaining $4 million of that was request for a $1.2 million accounting for the MDU for the costs associated with the retirement of its coal plants. We determined that's just and reasonable because the MDU has justified that the retirement of the coal plants ultimately was more cost-effective for its ratepayers when MDU is now building gas-fired generation. And a lot of that has to do with the fact of federal regulatory pressure, as you know, from following the coal strip situation where the federal government has basically made it a policy to shut down coal-fired generation in Montana. So $1 million of the cost increase goes to operating and maintenance expenses for MDU's existing facilities. Of course, O&M, for anybody that owns a business, we all know that pretty much anything you invest back into the business in that regard is going to be just and reasonable. And then about $1.9 million, or the remainder of that $6.1 million, goes to what is capital investments for MDU, which is what I was just talking about, where they're shifting their baseload generation away from coal-fired generation to gas fire generation. And so, that obligation is done, that expenditure is done for the obligation for making sure MDU's customers have power at the time that it's demanded. So there's nothing that I could see in the $6.1 million increase that was unjust and reasonable. And as I stated, and I want people, if anything, from listening to this show, for people to understand that the legislature is the one that's made the decision to allow the utilities to pass through property taxes directly to their customers on their property bill, not us.
Well, and you get, I mean, if you're a utility, I mean, you're highly regulated in so many ways. I think you get stuck between a rock and a hard place sometimes in trying to recover some of these costs. And also, I suppose that affects this outlook. I mean, right now there's hearings going on with Northwestern Energy about their IRP, their resource plan for the next 20 years. I just imagine that there's some consternation about the weight of that or the strength of that. There seems to be a very questionable energy future here.
Oh, yeah. This is something that, if you were to ask me the question, which you're sort of implicitly asking me, what keeps me up at night as a public service commissioner? Yeah. It's exactly that question. With these mandates that are being imposed not only by states on the West Coast, but by the federal government to go to the the clean energy future, if you will. What's happening, of course, is that Montana has always been able to provide baseload within the state to its customers through coal-fired generation or or gas generation, right? Mm-hmm. But what you're having, of course, is you've got the Biden administration imposing, you know, there will be no carbon emitting facilities by the year 2050. So what we're seeing is that, and this is true not only of the Montana Public Service Commission, but also for other commissioners throughout the West in their individual states, because I talked to them. What we're concerned about is that as these mandates pressure the closure of fossil fuel generation, I absolutely hate that term, that we're going to be short in capacity towards the end of this decade and into the early 2030s. We know for sure that there could be a deficit in capacity as high as 5% based on load probability by the end of this decade. I want you to think about that. The West, as we know, particularly from our experience in Montana where we're seeing big population growth, the entire West is experiencing population growth. So the amount of demand on the Western interconnection grid is increasing, yet we're having actions taken by federal and state policymakers to reduce our ability to generate the load to meet that demand. The good news is that in Northwestern's IRP, which we'll talk a little bit about what that is, it's basically a planning document over 20 years for the utility, but Northwestern avers that during the summer it should have the resources to meet customer demand and load through the end of this decade. But Northwestern has indicated to us through this IRP that they're going to be short possibly in winter for its own ability to generate, which means they have to go out onto the market and compete with other utilities for power at the high peak times, right? We know those are generally in February, but as you saw from the last winter, you know, we had that really cold snap right before Christmas. And when Northwestern has to go out and buy energy on the market, well, guess who gets to pay for the high market costs? It's the consumer. And so that gets to the point you were talking about, Tom, where we're hearing now, having held two public listening sessions on this IRP, where the environmental groups come in and say, well, you know, Northwestern's awful because, you know, their prices, customer prices are going up. But the reality is the reason that the customer prices are going up is because you're shutting down baseload generation, which means Northwestern has to go purchase on the market at a higher price. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for some of these people.
And so disingenuous that they make that argument. And it's, I think it's easily or readily, there's evidence that readily points to actions by these environmental groups. And again, this is an industry. And so there's you know, that sort of market manipulation going on here too. It's so disingenuous that they talk about rising rates of electricity when their ultimate goal will, I don't know, in my mind, more than double or triple our electricity bills and our energy bills. As you noted, you know, when Northwestern Energy has to go out on the open market, or Montana Dakota Utilities, very high competition around the West because there is going to be a shortage. And so they're paying maybe 7 to 10 times more on the open market. Base load generation has got to be a focus. You know what? I'm going to have to skip the news, Cody, and get right to some phone calls here. Speaking of Skip is in Hamilton listening on KLYQ and has a question for PSC President James Brown. Good morning, Skip. Thanks for being on Voices.
And thank you, Tom. And it's really nice to hear your voice again, Jim Brown. Every time you talk, it's like an interactive lecture hall, and we learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to reflect on two things. First, I heard you talk one time, and it was actually a rather private conversation. You were telling me about how the PSC has something to do with our area codes, and that you had all signed a directive, I think, to kick that down the line, that there would be more area codes in Montana. In case there's an update on that, I'd appreciate it. It changes a lot of people's lives if we have more than one area code in the state of Montana. In addition, can you think of something that our legislators that might be listening anywhere in the state could maybe put together something, a good piece of legislation that helped go towards protecting us in the future and moving towards more power generation I'll say similar to what Montana Power had before the year 2000, when we made all our own power and didn't have to buy it from anybody. Any kind of legislation, sir, you can think of, just in case.
You might have to continue this past the break here. You got 2 minutes on that one. Thanks, Skip. Appreciate it.
Okay, let's do the 406 area code. That's a great question, Skip. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate your kind comments. So this is pretty interesting. I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, this is something that the PSC is not known for. We actually regulate telecommunications. It's somewhat limited. The federal government preempted basically telecommunications in 1996. In fact, my former boss, Senator Conrad Burns, actually carried as a legislative matter the Telecommunications Modernization Act of 1996. Everything's connected, right? I was a staffer for him during that time. But basically what that legislation was designed to do was to allow for the development of cellular phones and the Internet, right? So it took a lot of state jurisdiction away. But essentially the 406 area code, as we know, is very identified with Montanans, and we take a lot of pride in it. Well, as the population growth expands, of course, you've seen other states have to do second or third area codes, right? Well, the good news is in Montana, there was some concern that 406 area code would be used up, if you will, all the number sequence, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen until the end of this decade. So folks can be assured that we're on top of that, and that's good news. Now, in terms of legislation, that's like a 5-minute conversation in itself. I would say the thing that I've asked the legislature as president of the PSC is to give us, the agency, adequate staff so that we can participate in regional discussions on behalf of Montana in order to ensure that Montana's ratepayers are not left behind as we go to more regionalized markets. And I have not had success from the legislature in doing that. If we're not part of those discussions, in Montana, California is going to dominate that conversation, and it's going to start extracting resources, if you will, energy out of Montana for its customers.
Montana, President of the Public Service Commission, James Brown. Take a quick break and come on back. 866-627-5483 on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Great to have you here. Appreciate that. Again, got those numbers. Give us a call. Got a text message or two to pass along. And Lisa, stand by. We're getting to it. And how you feeling?
Wow, I feel good.
Nice. Sugar and spice.
Hey, that's James Brown, the one and only. Pride of Macon, Georgia. Or is it Mason, Georgia?
Macon,
yes, yeah. And president of the Montana Public Service Commission here. We're talking about a lot of things. We have to get to this Northwestern Energy IRP here as well. 20-year plan. I think there's a lot to discuss. Appreciate the discussion regarding Montana Dakota Utilities and that approval of the rate increase. We'll take a phone call on that right now. Lisa listening in Miles City on KMTA's 1050 AM and 95.3 FM. Thanks for joining us here on Voices.
Good morning, Tom and James and Montana. I was one of the people who called in and complained last week, and I did some research, and I have to backtrack a little bit. I compared MDU prices to my co-op or landlord's co-op. MDU pays 11 cents per kilowatt, and landlord pays 22 cents per kilowatt. So we actually pay double what MDU does, so a little increase won't be so bad. Also, I think what's happening is that the environmentalists don't know how electricity works. You've been talking about education, and we should have a power electricity curriculum in the schools so that children and people learn how energy works, because today, children are born into believing that power is just there automatically and will always be there, but actually energy and power are very labor-intensive. So especially after the ruling where industry has to consider its carbon footprint. I think the PSC did the right thing in increasing the electrical rates. I'm interested in Northwestern Energy. They've spent $1 billion in the last 5 years on clean energy. Their portfolio has a 59% clean energy. That's the percentage that is not fossil fuels. The challenge is shutting down that coal plant. If they shut that down, it'll cause blackouts during peak hours, as James was saying, or Mr. Brown was saying, which means that people will be losing power on a daily basis. So you also had mentioned on this show that there's a company called Cyan H2. They are looking into hydrogen, which is very interesting. That would be a clean power. So all this costs money, and this increase will be used to protect our energy, power, and grid for the next generations.
Lisa, I appreciate those comments very much, and there's a lot to go off of there, James.
Yeah, so a couple things. So as to the Northwestern Energy situation, this is a thing that I didn't even realize until I got on the commission. You think you're smart, and then, you know, then you find out you're not. But Northwestern serves what the role of what's known as a balancing authority in Montana, which means that they're the entity that is absolutely responsible when it comes down to it, to making sure that customers in Montana, whether or not they're their own customers or customers or co-ops or whatever, have power in times of absolute emergency, okay? And what Northwestern Energy would argue is that, I think in terms of the Colstrip plant, is that in order for them to meet that obligation to provide power at all times, if something happens with Colstrip and it gets shuttered and you don't have that base load, well, the way that they're going to meet their balancing authority at obligation is to go out into the open market, and they will compete for that power, and they'll try to get that power, but it's going to be a cost, a huge cost to the ratepayer, right? And that's the thing that keeps me up at night. Okay, that being said, is that to the point that the caller just made as to the amount of the increase. So I want folks to understand that under the stipulation, the amount of increase that we approved, if you will, for the average residential customer was $8 per month, or $96.09 per year. The original application for irrigation rates, which is something that, you know, I know your listeners are interested in, I'm certainly interested in, given my background, it was the request was originally 19.34%. We knocked it down to 10.93%. So the increase per month on that will be $5.67 per month.
And that's an interesting comment. And about the balancing authority, we discussed that here too. And then that's a huge responsibility. Lisa, thanks for your call. I want to pick up on one of those points that she made as well, is when we recognize that we could run into, and in fact, it seems likely if we don't start developing more baseload, we could run into a situation which happened with Texas and brownouts. As a matter of fact, I mean, that is, I think, a policy for some West Coast utilities where they are initiating or at least evaluating the process of how brownouts are accomplished equitably across their grid. I don't know that I like that approach, but I hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, that's a fair point. It's true. California has imposed, if you will, mandatory brownouts at times when there's risk that the grid, if you will, in California will go down. I want people to think about that. We live in the richest, most prosperous, most innovative country or nation in the history of the world. Amen. And our policymakers have put us in a position where we're actually looking at shutting off power as a management policy. It's insane. It is crazy that our elected officials are doing that to us. The beauty of being a regulator in Montana is that you sort of have a dispassionate, if you will, view of what's going on, because my obligation as set forth in statute by the Montana legislature, is to ensure that we don't have those kind of situations. And so I'm very glad that the Montana legislature is cognizant of what's going on in these other states and is trying to be proactive, ensuring that we don't have brownouts in Montana. So go thank your legislator to that effect. But yes, the point you were making is that in Texas, when they had the big storm in February of 2021, I want people to understand why part of our obligation as a PSC commissioner is to ensure that we have healthy regulated utilities. Well, in Texas in 2021, when the grid failed, as you recall, I mean, there was loss of life as a result of those power outages. I mean, what is the cost of that in human capital, right? How do you even quantify that? But we know that wholesale prices in Texas during that storm shot up to $9,000 a megawatt. $9,000 a megawatt when they're typically $50 a megawatt. And so folks who are complaining that, you know, the utilities may make too much or not acting on behalf of the people or something, I mean, what I want them to think about is that what would they be willing to pay to have energy during a minus 50-degree storm?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, this becomes a public safety issue as well.
Right.
I want to get a text message out here, but I also want to fold this conversation into what is, you regulate the utilities for safety and for, you know, a lot of reasons, but there's a rate of return. I think we need to kind of understand. And again, it's in this country, we have regulations against monopolies because monopolies can manipulate prices. And this is why I think energy is very much regulated in that regard. But here's a question from the text line at 781-627-5483. A couple of things here. Is it constitutionally legal to have the residents pay the utility company's taxes? And then also a shot here. Do the commissioners take into account the $1.4 billion MDU made in profits over the past 4 years? Again, I think there's a need for understanding in those questions.
Okay, yeah. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about how regulated utilities operate with these rate cases, okay? So the deal, if you will, so utilities, as we've learned through basically 130 to 140 years of regulation of power in the United States, are basically what's called a natural monopoly, right? Just by the very virtue of their business. And so regulators and policymakers for 130 to 140 years have basically determined the best model for ensuring that you have power to consumers while keeping power bills reasonable is you regulate these natural monopolies. And that's what we do in Montana, right? Basically, we give these monopolies a service area. In return, they are subject to caps on what they can earn. Okay, so that's the way it works. That's called the rate of return or rate of equity. So under Montana law, the two major regulated power generators are allowed a rate of return or a rate of equity. Or an ability to earn, if you will, a profit on their capital investments. But that is capped. That's what we do at the Montana Public Service Commission is we cap what they can actually profit, if you will.
What's it capped at?
Yeah, so it's a cap. It's a cap on what they can earn.
Is it capped at a specific percentage or a figure, or what's it capped at?
Yeah, so yes. So it's capped at a certain percentage. And so for the MDU case, we capped it at 9.65%. That's what was stipulated to by the parties. Now, what folks don't understand, and I hear it time and again in these public comment sessions, is that we're not guaranteeing by putting that cap on that the utility can earn up to 9.65%. They have to earn it themselves. And I want people to understand that for MDU, the answer to the question of the gentleman, do we look at what MDU is earning or doing? Yes, we do. So I can tell you that I'm going to give you the numbers. For 2018, the rate, the ROE for MDU, they got 3.92%, 2019, 6.2%, 6.26%, 2020, 6.35%. So they weren't even earning up to what their rate of return it was that we authorized for them. So I don't know if folks understand what that means. We gave them the opportunity to earn up to that. They didn't.
Yeah.
But the amount that they can earn is capped by Montana law in exchange for having basically a monopoly.
So it's capped, not guaranteed.
Right.
Yep. We're going to, well, it happens. There's so much to talk about, and I really appreciate that. We didn't get to this IRP specifically for Northwestern Energy. Again, it's a 20-year plan. I'll probably have them on here in the near future. You have hearings going on right now. Great Falls Helena was Monday and Tuesday in Billings at 6 p.m. Tonight, 6 p.m., Board of Oil and Gas Conservation. In Butte, that'll be tomorrow at 6 p.m. Again, Butte Silver Bowl Public Archives. And then in Missoula on the 22nd at 6 p.m., Missoula College Learning Center. So also go to psc.mt.gov for a chance to comment there and learn more. James, I can't thank you enough for giving us this opportunity to, you know, hit those sound effects, and but more so for the service. And I think, like you say, the way to approach this, a balanced approach and the understanding of it, it helps us a lot. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Can I just throw in a personal matter?
Yes.
So I think your listeners are going to be excited to learn that Tony Hudson from Stevensville, many of you may know,
yep,
Tony and myself, have filed a citizens initiative with the Montana Secretary of State to make the American Rodeo the state sport of Montana. We're hoping to get it on the ballot in 2024. As we all know from growing up in Montana, there is no sport that embodies the Montana way of life and our culture more than the rodeo, and we think this is a good deal, and we hope people support it.
Oh, I'll look into that. We'll do a little story on that. How about it?
All right.
I think that's pretty cool. Thanks, James. You know, be well. I hope you had a good summer, and I know there are things upcoming that we'll hear from you about. Very much appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.